Good morning, Calvary City Church. It's so good to have all of you tuning in to our Sunday online celebration service. We are still on the series of the Book of Acts. Yesterday, if you are part of this service, you will realize that I spoke on Acts chapter 18 and Pastor Rajan spoke on Acts chapter 20. And this morning, I'll be sharing pulpit as well with Pastor Rajan again, and we both of us will be speaking on Acts chapter 19. So if you miss out yesterday's sermon, I would encourage you to go to the YouTube or Facebook Calvary City Church channel, and all the sermons on the Book of Acts are there. And I know and I believe that each and every sermon that preached by different pastors will be a blessing to the body of Christ. So today, as we are going to be looking at Acts chapter 19, my title for my today's sermon will be A Supernatural Church. Come on, people of God, repeat after me. A Supernatural Church. And the today I'll be speaking from Acts chapter 19, like what I said, and a little bit background on Acts chapter 19, and then we will go on a few takeaways from Acts chapter 19. Now, here in Acts chapter 19, when you read, you will find that here Paul was in this place called Ephesus, and he was there for a period of 3 years. You know, 3 years he was in this place in Ephesus, and he was mainly teaching. He was teaching on different many things, but mainly he was more teaching on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He was not just teaching on who the Holy Spirit was, but rather he was teaching on what does it like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And on top of that, we can clearly see in Paul's life that he was not just teaching on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but he was living a lifestyle of showing to the people that the power of the Holy Spirit was residing in him. He was moving under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible clearly said, you know, he was healing the sick and he was casting out demons. God uses Paul to heal the sick and to cast out a demon. He was a man who was moving under the supernatural anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, my intention today will be based on Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and verse 12. Can we just read together? Acts 19, verse 11 to 12. And this is what it says. Now, God worked unusual. Come on, repeat after me. Say unusual. Now, God worked unusual miracle by the hands of Paul. Verse 12. So that even the handkerchief or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Let's pause there. Let's look at verse 17 to 20. Verse 17. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Verse 18. And many who had believed came confessing. Wow, listen to this. How powerful. All of them saw the power of God, and those who witnessed the power of God came confessing and telling their deeds. Verse 19. Also, many of these who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up for value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Let's go on. Verse 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevail. Now, when you read this text, you will find that because of the power of God, because of the supernatural power of God, people begin to give their life to Jesus. And clearly here it says that Jesus' name was glorified. Now, we need to understand the first takeaway that we can come from reading this text is, number one, supernatural power comes from God. Supernatural power comes from God. Now, if you read carefully in verse 11, you will find that God was working unusual miracle through the hands of Paul. You need to understand here, Paul did not have the power, but rather God is the one was the source of power, and God uses Paul. Likewise today, if you're watching this, let me tell you something. If you will understand that the supernatural power comes from God, God God can use you like how God uses Paul. Now, it's so interesting that you will find that Paul never claimed that he was the one that did all this miracle. Paul didn't went into the city and tell, look what I have done. See, I'm doing it in my own power. No. But when God uses Paul to perform all this unusual miracle, Paul was so humble, he didn't boast about it, but rather the Bible clearly said that the name of Jesus was magnified. Now, when the Lord performs miracles, there's three purposes that he has in his mind. When God performs a miracle, there's three purposes that is in his mind. Number one is to show compassion. When God performs a miracle, because God wants to show his compassion. Number two is to teach spiritual truth. And number three is to present his credential as the Messiah. Now, if today, if we can have this in our mind, that the reason why we want to pray for the sick, the reason why we desire to see demons are being cast out, because of pure compassion, not because to make yourself famous, not because you can snap a picture and put it on Facebook, but because of pure intention of, because of the compassion of God towards the people of God, then let me tell you something. You are very entitled to receive this supernatural power of God, just like how God uses Paul. Now, listen, this is the second takeaway. The second takeaway from this text, we can clearly see that the supernatural, we are called to live a supernatural lifestyle. We are called to live a supernatural lifestyle. Mark chapter 16, verse 17, here it says, these signs will follow all those who believe. My name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Let's go on, verse 18. They will take up serpents and they will drink anything deadly. It will be by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Here clearly that we can see, Jesus is saying that all these signs will follow after you for those who believe. Yeah, look carefully. He says all who believe, not to pastors alone, not to just evangelists alone, not to full-time staff, but to everyone who believe. Let me tell you something today. If you will believe in the name of Jesus, if you will believe in the supernatural power of God, then these signs will follow after you. What are the signs? We clearly read before this, the signs are you can able to cast out demon under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You'll be able under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to heal for the sick. You'll be able to speak in tongues and you will be able to do things that God wants you to do. And God will able to empower you to do these things when the moment that you believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, to be supernatural is to be natural. To be supernatural is to be natural. Many of us, we think, right, to be supernatural, you know, we need to tell people, hey, don't come near me. You know, I'm walking under the supernatural. No, I cannot do this. No, I cannot do that. No. To be supernatural is to become very natural. Now, imagine a world where people come into your house sick and they go back being healed. Imagine people come to your house being demon possessed, they go out being set free. Imagine people coming to your house with broken marriages, going back being reconciled. Imagine right now when people are watching this service right now, you may be broken inside of you, but after the service, suddenly the joy of the Lord came upon you. Imagine even before you come to the altar call, before you get into the prayer healing room, through the worship session itself, suddenly you find, hey, my back is being healed. Hey, my knee is being healed. Hey, my tumor is gone. My friend, let me tell you something. Supernatural is to be natural. It's not just in the moment when someone plays a keyboard, when there's music going on, that's when the supernatural power takes place. No, supernatural takes place in the most natural way. When you're having dinner with your wife and suddenly, you know, you get a call and someone said they are sick in the body, you know, you just pick and you just say, brother, let me just pray for you. And the moment when you pray for them over the phone and suddenly you will realize that they got healed because of the prayer that you just made. My friend, the Lord God is calling the church to move under this supernatural anointing. What is it like if one day that every congregation of Calvary City Church move under this anointing? Wow! Imagine every Sunday school teachers, every Sunday school kids, every youth leaders, every youth, every young adults, every cell group leaders, every cell group members will have supernatural as their lifestyle. Imagine how the church will grow. Imagine what will be in the city. My friend, let me tell you something. God is inviting the church to move under this supernatural anointing. John chapter 14 verse 12. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than this he will do. Oh, my friend, do you know how powerful this verse is? This verse is so powerful that Jesus is saying, as you believe in me, you will do the works that I do. What did the work that Jesus did? He cast out demons, right? He healed the sick. And the best part, Jesus said, greater works than this they will do. That's the reason why in Acts chapter 19 verse 11, you will find that the author said that Paul, you know, God was using Paul, you're doing unusual miracle, you know, and the handkerchief that Paul uses brought healing to someone. The apron that Paul uses brought healing to the body of Christ. My friend, let me tell you something. God is able to use you. God this morning wants to empower you to walk in the supernatural anointing. And you must understand, because of the supernatural anointing and because of the supernatural power that Paul was moving, many of them gave their life to Jesus. Many of them start to believe in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you one strong statement. The greater opposition is, the greater the power of God will be manifested. Today, we are living in the days where there's greater opposition. Paul was just like that. People were after him. He was in the Ephesus. Ephesus was a place where there was occultism going on, witchcraft, sorcery, black magic, and all these witch doctors, so many of this going on. Great opposition, but in the place of great opposition comes the greatest power of God. My friend, today in Malaysia, we may feel that we are in a great opposition. Because of that, oh, I got a good news. There's going to be greater power of God being released to Calvary City Church. There's going to be greater power of God released in Malaysia, but it takes a man like Paul who will say, I understand that the power comes from God, and I just want to have compassion, and I don't want to steal the glory of God. Every glory goes to God. Come on, people of God. God is inviting you and I to walk in this supernatural anointing. I believe in the coming days that we don't have to lay hands on people through Zoom call. We have seen this happening. Through our Facebook prayer watch, people will begin to get healed. In our prayer watch, people who demonize, suddenly out of that, they begin to scream, ah! And the demon will just come out just in their living room without us laying hands. And this is about to happen because God wants to show His power to reveal to the people that He is the Messiah, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And because of this power, people will give their life to Jesus Christ. And right now, I pass this time to Pastor Rajan, and he will come and he will continue on preaching on Acts chapter 19 as well. God bless you.
Good morning, church. We heard a powerful message on what a ministering church should be, a supernatural church should be, a church that ministers in the supernatural. And Pastor Benjamin used Acts, the 19th chapter, verse 11. As the text for his message, and encouraged each one of us to be used of God mightily. I'd like you now to turn with me to again Acts the 19th chapter, verse 19 and 20. Acts 19, verse 19 and 20. This is the church in Ephesus, a church that was birthed by the momentum of the Holy Spirit. A church where the Holy Spirit delighted to dwell in. A church that had the fire of the Holy Spirit. a church that loved the Lord, and they exchanged all their precious possession for just two things: the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's read Acts 19, verse 19 and 20. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they were not ordinary books, and they were not ordinary possessions. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 15,000 pieces of silver. You go and work that out in today's currency. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. You know what they did? They took what is so expensive. They took the expensive possession and exchanged it for just two things: the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus as their personal Savior, and the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. This church was brightly burning in the power of God and the love of God. And because of this, the Holy Spirit found such a delight to dwell among them. That's why they had such an outstanding works of miracles. I entitle this short message this morning, in continuing the second part, "The Church That Almost Lost Their Spiritual Legacy." The Church of Ephesus, what a dynamic church. It almost lost its spiritual legacy. Jesus had to come and rebuke them and open their eyes to see that you're about to lose what you have gained. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Well, how did they lose? How were they about to lose their legacy? Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, a familiar scripture, a familiar scripture to every one of us. "To the church of Ephesus," Acts 19, was the birthplace of this church, Ephesus. "This thing says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands with the seven churches, I know your works, but where is your worship? I know your labor, where is your love? I know your patience, where is your passion for me? And that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars, and you persevered. Where's your purpose? You persevered. And have patience. Where's your passion for me? And have labored for me, for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." In the midst of the commendation, the Lord Jesus brings a rebuke to this church. In other words, their hands were full. They were mission-minded. They were givers. They were relevant to the community. Like PKK, like Transformation Alliance, like the White Flag Project, their hands were full. They were laboring for God, but their heart was empty. Their heart was empty. It is possible, in the midst of doing the work of God, we can lose our intimacy with God. The purpose of this message for the next couple of minutes is this: have you left your first love? Have you left your first love? You can leave your first love. Have you left your first love? During this pandemic, many of us are worried. Many of us are anxious. Many of us are worried. Many of us are frustrated. In the midst of all this, have we allowed our negative emotions and this pandemic to rob us of our first love? Have we left our first love? You know, friends, just before I serve communion today, I like to share with you symptoms of you losing your first love. In other words, how do I know that I have left my first love? How do I know Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. I'm going to dissect this couple of scriptures into three sections negatively. They're all positive. God's word is full of possibility and positivity. But I'm going to turn the scripture into negativity. Let me just read the scripture first. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is a common scripture. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. There are three symptoms that's found in the scripture if we apply it in the opposite. Three symptoms. And they become symptoms that will show you that you have left your first love. Number one, okay? Keep the scripture in your mind. If you can, memorize the scripture. Number one, this is the first test. When you cannot trust God, when you cannot trust in the Lord with all your heart, you have left your first love. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. When your faith becomes fluctuating, when your faith is between two opinions, when your faith is not absolutely in God, then you have left your first love. The reason why the Holy Spirit took such a delight to dwell among the church in the Ephesus in Acts 19, because they loved the Lord Jesus with all their heart. That's why the fullness of the Holy Spirit was found among them. There were miracles after miracles, astonishing miracles, because they loved the Lord with all their heart. And because they loved the Lord with all their heart, they trusted God with all their heart. James chapter 1 verse 18 says, He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. An unstable, double-minded man cannot receive anything from God. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, He said this, If you have faith like a mustard seed, and if you would say to the mountain, move from here to there, it will happen and all things will be possible to you. Praise God. The first symptom that you have left your first love is your faith becomes fluctuating. You become a person with double-mindedness, a person who is plagued with doubt rather than faith. That's the first symptom. Symptom number two, from the same scripture, when you keep leaning on your own understanding, you have lost your first love. The Bible tells us, we just read in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, 6, lean not on your own understanding. Your wisdom, when your wisdom becomes more important than the wisdom of God's word in your life, in your family, in your decision, in everything that you will do, then you have left your first love. Friends, when you are in love with God, you're willing to believe everything that the Bible says. And that's the mark of your first love. If your wisdom becomes greater than the wisdom of God's word, then you have left your first love. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 25 tells us, because of the foolishness of God is wiser than man, the weakness of God is stronger than man. For example, marriage, husband and wife. The Bible clearly tells us in Matthew, the 19th chapter, verses 5, 6, and 7, the two shall become one. What God has put together, no man will put asunder. Now, that sounds very foolish. How can two become one? The foolishness of God is wiser than man. And friends, if we cannot understand the simple truth, 1+1 is 1 in marriage, I want you to know that's where quarrel starts in the family. When the husband hates his wife, he's hating himself. When the husband does not love his wife, he's not loving himself. When the husband is not kind to his wife, he's not kind to himself. That's a simple truth. Are you here with me? You know, when you base your wisdom on your clever mind, then the wisdom of God's word, then you have left your first love. Number three, when you do not acknowledge Jesus in all your ways, when you don't acknowledge Jesus in all your ways, it says, we read the scriptures just now, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. When you do not acknowledge Jesus in all your ways, it simply means you have lost your first love, which simply means, look at this, when you lose, this is very important, we can take God for granted. You know, when you lose the daily sense of need for God, when you lose the daily sense of need for God, you have left your first love. Are you here with me? When we have left our daily dependence on God, we have taken God for granted and we have lost our first love. Are you here with me? Can somebody say amen, please? If you claim to have an intimacy with God, you should be, your first consultant must be God, not anybody else. Your first dependency must be God. You know, many of us, how many of us really, when we get into the car, pray before we drive? We take God for granted. How many of us really pray before we do our daily chores? You know, we take God for granted. What's the reason? We have lost our daily dependence on God. I repeat, when you lose your daily sense of need for God, you have lost your first love. Are you here with me, my friends? Number one, as I summarize, number one, when you cannot trust God with all your heart, you have lost your first love. It's not just unbelief. You're caught between two opinions. Number two, when you keep leaning on your own understanding, your wisdom, your common sense becomes greater than the wisdom of God's word, you have lost your first love. Number three, when you do not acknowledge Jesus in everything that you do, people may call you a freak, a spiritual freak, Jesus freak. No! That's not what it is. We are called to acknowledge Him in every aspect of our life so that He can direct us. We have lost our daily sense of need for God. You know, friends, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 verse 21, you know, because although they knew God, look at this, they did not glorify Him. When you lose your daily sense of need for God, this is what happens. And you know what? And as God knows, they were thankful. They were complainers, but became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? So therefore, as I begin to serve this communion, if you think you have left your first love, I appeal to you to come back. As an assignment for you on first love, could you please read Genesis 22? This is a story about how God speaks to Abraham and said, take your son and bring him to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice to me. And Abraham, number one, obeyed. No question asked. Number two, when he was about to take his son to the altar, he told the man, my son and I are going to offer sacrifice to God and we will come back. Ha! Faith. And number three, when the son asked him, Isaac asked him, Dad, there is wood, there is fire. Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. the Lord will provide. Look at this. This, the reason why God had to ask Abraham to lay his son at the altar, because he wanted to test his love for him. Likewise, today, let's lay down our Isaac. What has taken your first love from God? Let's come back to the first love. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, today, help us to become the supernatural church. Enable us with the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we can do greater works than this that Jesus said in John, the 14th chapter, verse 12. Thank you, dear Father. We ask you for the supernatural anointing, that the power of God can make Calvary City Church relevant to the society. And so therefore, in asking the supernatural anointing, we want to come back to our first love. We want to come back to our first love. For some reason, if our faith is fluctuating, for some reason, we're leaning on our own understanding and we're not able to trust God. And for some reason, dear Father, we are becoming wiser on our own strength and we have not acknowledged you in every ways, dear Father. And we have lost the daily sense of need for you. Help us to come back, dear Father. Take a few minutes right now and let's just minister to the Lord. Hallelujah. Whichever part of the sermon is ministered to you, I want you to just reach out to the Lord and let the Lord just minister to you. Holy Spirit, come and minister to each one of us in a very special way. In asking you for a supernatural anointing, we also want to come back to you, dear Father. We don't just want to be used of God. We want to be loved of God. Hallelujah. God, anoint us. At the same time, bring us back to our first love. We thank you. We commit each one of us into your hands. Help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.